Hello, listeners, and welcome to The Astrologer's Palace, a podcast about the art of memory and astrological learning. My name is Andrew Watt, and I'm your host today. In today's episode, we're going to be walking around the Hall of Aries. You can think of this as being rather like a gallery in a museum. It's a main room surrounded by a series of smaller rooms, and each room contains a variety of pictures, symbols, and sculptures that are designed to cultivate your knowledge of the sign of Aries. Let me say at the front of this episode that I acquired a great deal of this knowledge from studying the material provided to me by Christopher Warnock and by reading books by Chris Brennan, Austin Coppock, Christopher Warnock, the aforementioned, Demetra George, and various primary sources that they provided to me. All of this information is available in various forms, both in the public domain and out of it. And the idea here is to walk through these spaces in a way that helps this knowledge become second. Let's get started. If you are able to, and you're in a safe place to do this, it might be a good idea to close your eyes so that you are able to physically imagine yourself walking through these spaces in your imagination. If you're not able to do that, if you're on the highway listening to this during a commute, you may find it a good idea to turn off this podcast and listen to it for the first time later, at a time when the motion of the car is not going to lull you into a sense of speeding through these spaces. Your body can be moving the second or third or fifth time that you listen to this podcast, but it's probably not a good idea to try to memorize information while moving at 70 miles or 100 kilometers an hour. I know that those numbers don't actually align with one another, but the idea here is don't be moving at high speeds the first time that you listen to this material. It's easy to slip into a little bit of a light trance while you're studying this in this way, and you'd like to avoid that if you're moving at high speed on the road. We start by walking around an unfamiliar part of your town and coming upon a road that you haven't seen before called Zodiac Street or Zodiac Road, taking the turn on foot down the sidewalk or maybe alongside of a dirt road and coming into a neighborhood that you haven't seen before. The buildings open up around you, and you find yourself in front of an iron fence surrounding a very, very large building, probably about the size of a football stadium. But instead of being surrounded by parking lots, it is surrounded by gardens, and there are paths leading through the gardens up to the doors that go into the building about every 30 yards or so around the round edges of the building. The first floor of the building is large cyclopean blocks of stone in which are carved figures that look Egyptian or Babylonian. Some of them look like they might be Indian gods and goddesses. And this is to suggest that the original sources of astrology come from those cultures. The second floor has columns like classical Greece and Rome, and it has Arabic arches and Persian tile work on the walls, maybe some Turkish tile work as well. And you can see smatterings of symbols from all over the Mediterranean world at this level. And this is to suggest that the second stage of the development of astrology has to do with the Persian and Arabic influences and the Greek Greco-Roman influences that become part of the second heritage level or layer of astrology. The third story has a lot of windows. It seems to be much more of a Gothic kind of construction, suggesting the more recent European layers on top. I recognize that this is not a standard history of astrology, but the point here is to develop a visual memory of stages or structures. You can see that a number of pieces along the top of the building have been repaired in a Tudor style with half-timber construction, large black wooden timbers with white plaster in between them. And above that, you can see some distinctively modern roofs of metal and slate, which have been painted in four bright colors. Some sections are green, some sections are yellow, some sections are red, some sections are blue, and so on all the way around the building, from Zodiac Street all the way around, until you come to a place where there is an open gate. Being curious, you walk through the gate and through the garden up to a door, which is open, and you're able to go inside and up the stairs to the second floor. And at the top of the stairs, you turn right, and you find yourself entering a long, graceful, three-story tall hall, or grand chamber, that's perhaps 15 yards wide and about 30 yards long. Quite a substantial space. Along the right-hand side of the room, there are five alcoves that each have a door in them, and along the left-hand side, there are three much larger alcoves with doors in them. The walls up to the ceiling are painted in sort of a pale red color, and they are adorned with a pair of arrows representing the forward motion of cardinality or firstness that we find in the Hall of Aries. Looking up to the ceiling three stories above, you can see that the ceiling is painted a dark blood red, and that arms and armor and pieces of military gear have been bolted to the ceiling. You can see cutlasses and swords from various eras, katanas from Japan, and wushu swords from China. You can see all sorts of elaborate weapons in that space, arranged in spirals and wheels. And you know, of course, that this martial display is in honor of Mars, the ruler of Aries. At the center of the hall is a stone plinth, or pedestal, and atop it is a sculpture made out of iron plates of a ram with its head pointed directly at you and two large curling horns. And the sign of Aries, sort of the two roundels with the straight line in between them, is carved into the front of the plinth. At the base of the plinth, or pedestal, there is a large iron cage, and inside that cage is the terrifying form of Saturn, caged and relatively powerless in this place, you know, with his dark robe and with his scythe and with his hourglass, and his hands, which sort of look like old person's hands, but also maybe a bit skeletal, and the face, of course, is hidden in shadow. We're going to be using this image of Saturn quite a bit, and this is kind of a terrifying way to encounter Saturn for the first time, but it's also important to remember that Saturn is in fall in Aries, or in exile, or imprisonment, and so that's why we depict Saturn in a cage in this way. Along both sides of the room, there are sort of pathways that go towards the far end of the hall, and there are glass cases to display objects and paintings hanging on the walls. There are also columns that rise all the way up to support the ceiling above, and you can see that on those columns are symbols of the sun, and they're made out of some kind of yellow stone. So they're celebrating the sun, which is in exaltation here. If it's helpful, you may find that some of those pillars have banners of the sun on them. Bright golden wheels on red backgrounds with rays shining out from them. Walking down the left-hand side of the hall, the inner side of the hall, on the side with the three alcoves, we walk to the back and we can see that there's a door that goes into the next hall. And here, on the back side of the plinth, are three statues, the three lords of the triplicity of fire, that are the secondary dignities that we find in Aries. There are two plinths, or platforms, for these statues to stand on. One of them is carved with images of the sun, suggestive of daylight. The other plinth is carved with images of the moon, suggestive of nighttime. And in between them is a plain plinth, which has the third statue on it, representing the cooperating lord that assists both partners. On the plinth of day, is the statue of the sun, a golden man with a crown of gold with rays shooting out of it, and naked as the day he was born, muscular and strong, and beautiful, and a golden boy, a man in the full fitness of his prime. On the plinth dedicated to Night is Jupiter, wearing a blue toga with a golden crown upon his head, a big belly, and looking for all the world like the happy, jolly man in probably his late 40s or early 50s, and quite content and happy with the world. And atop the pillar between them is again the figure of Saturn. And this time he is not caged, but he does seem to be more aware of his surroundings and more able to act. And we will find these three lords of the triplicity in any hall that is dedicated to fire, to a fire sign. And that's why the walls are pale red, because the walls of this great hall are designed to show that this is the cardinal sign of fire, the place where fire begins. Looking down, you realize that the floor is tiled in green tiles, and inlaid into each tile, or perhaps simply glazed onto it, is the shape of the circle and cross of Venus. And this coppery shape of the circle and cross of Venus is always underfoot everywhere that you go in this hall, and it is to show that in the sign of Aries, Venus is in detriment, and she is always underfoot, and always disrespected in this way. Walking back along the right-hand side, or the outside edge of the hall, where the five doors are, we come back again to the place where we entered the hall. And we're next to the first door on the left, and when we go into that room, we find that it is laid out rather like a chapel, that there are 10 chairs, 5 on either side of the room. And at the far end of the room from the door that we enter, there is an altar. The room itself is painted the same blood red that we are going to learn how to associate with Mars. It's a dark, dark color. It has almost the color of rust. And instead of lying smooth on the walls, it has a jagged quality to it, like the paint was not carefully applied, just sort of slapped on, or perhaps splattered on. The altar has a beautiful painting in a golden frame on it, and it is, for those of you who are interested in the tarot, the painting inside is the Two of Wands from your favorite deck. Now, mine happens to be the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and so we have an image of a man standing on a castle wall, one wand bolted to the wall and another in his hand as he looks out over the city and out towards distant vistas. Atop the altar, and I learned this from Austin Coppock, is a mysterious symbol that is worth contemplating, and it is a double-bladed axe set upright in a stand so that one edge points left and one edge points right. And over time, you will find that your clients and friends who have something in the first sign of Aries will sit down in these 5 seats based on which degree of Aries in the first 10 degrees of Aries is relevant. But this is their chapel, and this is the space where they hang out. And so we're in a hall or a section of the palace dedicated to Mars, and here we are in a chapel of Mars, and the two symbols for us to work with are the double-bladed axe from Austin Coppock's fantastic book 36 Faces, and the Two of Wands. For those of you who are into Picatrix, as you turn around to leave, you see that next to the door are 2 of the images of Mars from either side of the door. And I'll leave you to experiment with those on another occasion. Going back out into the main hall of Mars, you're able to go into the second room. And in the second room, the walls are yellow and shining yellow gold colored, and they gleam in the light. And here again, it is set up like a chapel with 10 seats, 5 on either side. And again, as you remember which degrees your friends and clients are associated with, you will see them sitting in the chairs that are relevant to them. And these are the middle 10 degrees, or 10 seats, of Aries. And there is an altar on the far side of the chapel, and on the altar is a painting, and this is the Three of Wands. A man standing on a landscape with his staff in hand, who has just walked through a gateway made of two wands in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and looking out over a landscape and seeing new opportunities ahead of himself. And on the altar is a laurel wreath, again from 36 Faces. And these are symbols that will help you understand anyone who has planets in the middle 10 degrees of the sign of Aries. And going out of this room, you see that on either side of the door, as you came into this little chapel dedicated to the sun with its yellow walls, are two of the images of the sun from Picatrix. And going into the third of the Deccan chapels, again, you find that there are 5 chairs. And here is a painting on the altar. And this painting is of the Four of Wands. And of course, the walls are green in honor of Venus. And this is one of the few places, of course, where Venus has any power in a sign that is ruled by Mars. And there are green plants on either side of the altar, and on top of the altar is a vitrine, one of those bell-shaped glass jars, and inside of it is a rose that is on fire and is yet not consumed. And so here we have a metaphor of passion and of energy and of divine union and celebration in the card that is the Four of Wands. And on either side of the door, of course, there are 2 images that are associated with Venus from the Picatrix. And of course, you'll have to read the Picatrix in order to figure out what those images are. But nonetheless, here they are, and this is where they belong. Going back out into the main hall of Aries, you find yourself staring at a painting that's at the far end of the hall from where you entered, and it is a painting of a man. And the man is standing in sort of a desert landscape, and based on the objects around him, he looks like he is neither particularly tall nor particularly short. He doesn't look particularly lean, rather he's sort of strong and muscular and bare-chested under the sun. He's got sort of a long face, and he's got black bushy eyebrows and sort of thick shoulders, and he's sort of on the dusky side. And maybe he's a bit hairy as well. Looking at him, you can see that he's the sort of man who's had a lot of pimples or acne when he was in middle school or high school. And you can see that he's red-faced, like somebody who often gets angry. And one hand is resting on the side of his face as though he has toothache. And the other hand is resting on a part of his head, and you can see that it is bald underneath his head. And he seems to be holding his head as though he's had too much to drink. And these are the physical qualities that we see in people who have Aries in their house in a prominent place. That they tend to be dry and in dry places, that they have thick, heavy eyebrows, that They are neither tall nor short. They tend to be big-bodied and strong, and that they tend to be on the swarthy side, regardless of where in the world they come from. And furthermore, that the kinds of diseases that affect them are pimples or acne, and overexertion and angry, and toothache and headache and baldness. And these are things that we have come to associate with Aries in the tradition. Walking along the wall, back towards the door of the great hall of Aries, you come upon a map. And in this particular case, it is a map of Europe and parts of the Middle East. And a number of places are colored in red, as if they too are ruled by Aries. Most of Germany is so colored, and so is Poland, and so is France, and so is the southern half of the British Isle that we call Great Britain, the English half, and so is the land of Denmark. And in the Middle East, Israel and Syria are also colored in this same dark red. Looking closer at the map, you can see that places like Florence in Italy and Verona are also colored red. And you can see also that Naples in the south of Italy is colored this same red. And you can see that there is a red dot on the French city of Marseille. And in this way, we remember some of the places that were subject to Aries in traditional astrology from the days of William Lilly. That's why this looks like a Renaissance or early Enlightenment era map. And walking further along the wall, we see that there are places for other paintings to hang. And near the door that we came in, there is a painting of a group of sheep and cattle feeding on grass on some rolling countryside. And in the shadow of one of the hills, there is a small fire, and there is a gang of bandits gathered around the fire. And up in a tree overlooking their fire, there is a man in a tree acting as a lookout. And in the distance in the painting, you can see that there is a brickyard with its tall tower and its huge kilns and fire and smoke burning out of the top of the kilns, and they appear to be making brick off in the distance. And between the brickyard in the distance and the hiding place of the thieves, you can see that there is some land which has been freshly cleared of trees, and where there's a group of workers pulling stumps out and another group of folks who are freshly plowing the land with a team of oxen. And this is to remind you that these are places that are ruled or signified by Aries, that fields where there are sheep or cattle or rolling countryside or refuge places for thieves, or brickyards, or land that has been freshly plowed. All of these things are under the signification of Aries. And next to this painting is another painting of people indoors. And here, there is a team of plasterers working to put new plaster into a room. Now, we don't do this very much in the 21st century, but essentially they are finishing off the walls and making sure that the walls are properly sealed or covered. And this is to remind you that when we are talking about Aries indoors, it usually is something inside the walls. And that's why there is a painting here of men working to plaster walls. Now, it will not escape your notice that in all of these paintings, there are no women. And that is to remind you that Aries is considered to be a masculine sign. And the other thing that you notice is that all of the men have a tendency to be big-bodied, and they tend to all be very sort of sweaty, but not damp from sweat. They're hot, but they're also dry. And you can see that all of them are red-faced, and all of them are sort of on the hairy side, and all of them seem to be shouting at the top of their lungs and laughing at the top of their lungs. And all of them have fierce, angry faces. And this is to remind you that everything about Mars and Aries is luxurious, but also unwilling to be tempered, and kind of more bestial than civilized, and kind of angry all the time. And in all of the paintings that you see on the walls, and even in all of the sculptures that you see around the room, there are always indications that something is on fire. For this is a fire sign. And looking up at the windows above you, you can see that what is coming in through the windows is daylight. And that is because Aries is a diurnal sign. And in all of these maneuverings, you realize that you are back near the door that you came in, that the head of Aries is facing down at you, and you can see the angry eyes of this great ram. And you realize that you understand the left-hand side of the room that faces the inner courtyard of the building quite well, but that you haven't paid any attention to those strange five rooms on the outer wall. And so you direct your attention to those five alcoves and those five doors. And you come to the first door, the one that's closest to the entrance that you came through. And it's blue, this rich royal blue that we will learn to associate with Jupiter. The door has a very square, angular shape to it. And above the door is the numeral 8. And it's carved in Roman numerals, so there is a V followed by 3 vertical lines. And the door itself is painted blue. And going into the room through the blue door, you find yourself in a fairly large room with 2 fairly large windows in the wall in front of you. And it appears to be sort of a council room for 8 people to sit together. And this is the first of the term rooms of Aries. And in the floor and in the walls and in the ceiling is the glyph of Jupiter, shaped like the number 4. But there's not much any hanging out in this room yet, because you haven't chosen to adorn it yet. But there's easily room for 3 paintings on each of the walls that don't have windows in them, and then 1 big painting in the room that would go on the wall opposite the door between the 2 windows. And so you leave. You go back out into the main hall and you come to the second door. And this second door is the coppery green that we will come to associate with Venus. And sure enough, here is Venus's logo on the door. And above the door is carved the Roman numeral 15. And going through the door, you find yourself in a green room. Again, space for pictures on the walls or sculptures, but this time there are 7 chairs, because the 8 chairs of Jupiter and the 7 chairs of Venus make 15 chairs. And of course, the room is bright green, and there are green growing things in the planters near the windows. and there's space for one big painting opposite the door, and then two other paintings on each wall. But not much else is going on here just yet. So you go back out into the main hall, and you come to the third door. And this door is one of those double Dutch doors, right? The top swings open, the bottom swings open, they can move independently of one another. And the top part of the door is painted black, and in white it has the image of the logo of Saturn, the cross surmounted by the sort of S shape. And the bottom part of the door is orange, or maybe it's rainbow striped. It's sort of hard to tell in the light. And this one, of course, has the symbol of Mercury drawn in gleaming, flashing, almost liquid quicksilver. And above the door is the Roman numeral for 21, XXI. And going in, you see that that same pattern that we saw on the door is repeated here. That the top part of the room above the wainscoting on the walls is painted black, and the ceiling above you is black. And in the vault of the ceiling, you can see the emblem of Saturn carved in numerous places and painted in and filled in white, to remind you that sometimes lead is white. And the floor and the lower half of the walls are adorned in orange wood. And it's a trick of the stained glass that the lower half of the room appears to be in daylight. The lower half of the room appears to be in night. And the upper half of the room appears to be in daylight. And that's because for these six chairs that are arranged in a circle in the middle of the room, Saturn rules by day and Mercury by night. How peculiar. And then you go into the next room, and sure enough, it's one of those double Dutch doors again, except this time the top part of the door is orange and rainbows and has the logo of Mercury upon it. And the bottom half is black as night and has the logo of Saturn upon it. And above the door is the numeral 26 in Roman numerals, XXVI. And sure enough, inside the room there are five chairs. Like somebody, each room has been playing a game of musical chairs. And sure enough, this room, the lower half of the room is painted black, and the upper half is painted that orange color that we will come to associate with Mercury. And there's space for two paintings on each wall and one opposite the door. And we go out of that room and we go into the last room, and above the door is XXX, the Roman numeral for 30. And here inside the room, which of course is painted red for Mars, are four chairs, one pointing to each of the cardinal directions, slightly off kilter from the side squares of the room, and each chair is painted in the color of the four directions. Yellow in the east, red in the south, blue in the west, and green in the north. And so we return into the main hall of Ares, and we see that the three statues of the Triplicity are nearby. And walking once again round the hall, we pass the doors that are on the outside edge of the building, those five chambers. Mars, and then Mercury and Saturn, top and bottom. And then Saturn and Mercury, top and bottom. And then Venus, and then Jupiter. And we find ourselves once again by the door that we came in, and the stairs that go down. And looking back, we see the painting of the man with his pimples and his headache and his toothache and his baldness. We see the map with Germany and Poland and France and England and Denmark and Judea and Syria marked. And we see the bright red dot of Marseille and Florence on the map in Italy and France. And we see the painting that shows us the plasterers working on inside the house. And we see the landscape painting of the brickyard and the sheepfold and the cattle field and the thieves taking refuge. And we look up and we see the weapons above us mounted on the ceiling. And we look down and we see the columns drawing our eyes back down to the ground, adorned with the symbols of the sun and the color of the sun, which is yellow. And we see the green tiles underfoot. And we see in his cage Saturn with his scythe and hourglass gazing out at us through iron bars. It is time for us to leave the Hall of Ares. And so we go back downstairs, out of the hall, and out through the garden, knowing that we will return another time. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Astrologer's Palace. Join us next time when we'll do a brief review of the Palace Hall of Ares, and then go on to the Hall of Taurus. See you next time.